You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
William Shakespeare wrote King Lear, and I haven't read it in decades. I saw a movie about it decades ago, too, but when you describe Trump, this is it. King Lear is a Shakespearean tragedy about an aging king who divides his kingdom between his two flattering daughters, Goneril and Regan, banishing his honest youngest daughter, Cordelia, for refusing to flatter him. The play follows Lear's descent into madness as his daughters betray him, and then the kingdom just gets destroyed, basically. And that's what's happening with Trump. They just literally grovel like a cartoon in front of him. And then the people that won't, Tulsi Gabbard and people, he almost fired her last week. Now he figured, oh, no, now she's good. It's once the man, twice the child, to quote Shakespeare again. I think we're having early onset of dementia here. If he took some time off, got out of sleep deprivation, I think he could pull back. He is a bull. He has incredible stamina, but this is a disaster if he continues to degenerate. Any ideas about how to get through to Trump or get him out of this, or is it just too late?
Yeah, I mean, people do get out of it. And if you just look at King Lear and the flatterer, and that's why in the past, when I was trying to tell people the truth, and you face this as well, and they get really mad at you, and I'm like, this is how I show love. Like, you don't want me to just say what I think you want to hear, because that's actually how you ruin somebody. That's the tyrannical mother. That's the tyrannical feminine, you know? And when you talk about Saturn worship and Saturn...
The smothering mothers. Sorry, go back to Saturn.
Yeah. Saturn ate his children. So it's like...
Saturnalia.
Yeah, so it's the eating of the children. It's the consuming of the future. That's the flatterer. And so I think, Trump right now is surrounded by these worm tongues. And they're just telling him, oh, you're the greatest. What you've done, no one's ever done it before. You're crushing it. You're the greatest... And so anybody that actually cares about his future would say, hey, man, this is probably a bad idea. And he has a right to not listen to that person as an advisor, but you don't want just yes men, you know?
Oh, listen to this. I know top Trump advisors that told me, hey, what you're doing is great attacking him, but I'm going to have to attack you just because they've asked me, hey, I'm friends with you. That way I still get access. But then they buy TV ads just in Mar-a-Lago on Fox and in D.C., she don't have to pay the national rate. It's like a 1/100th or whatever, just to target political ads, because that's what he believes, whatever he sees on Fox. There's Saturn eating his son. So on screen. So a Renaissance painting. So that's literally what this is that now, because used to Trump liked to be argued with and stuff. Now he does not want to hear anything contrary, and that is so dangerous.
Well, it's the king's disease. It really is like a mental disease where it's like everyone has to just grovel at all times, and that comes from trauma. It's like, you know, he just doesn't want to deal with that ever again, and then it gets to this point of narcissism.
And by the way, he does that. Let me tell you, Trump. I've talked to Trump quite a bit years ago, and he invited me up last year, but then I went against him, so that went away. But I didn't even go when they invited me. It's literally, he just pats you on the head like you're a dog. But I learned real quick, he loves phone calls. He sees it's like a free currency of flattery. You get the call, we talk to the president, yes. 5 minutes of you're the best, you're wonderful, you're so incredible. He'd call my wife up and tell her that. And that was like my payment was this ego thing. Well, I'm not into that. I'd be like, sir, this person's bad. They're doing this, sir. Can I send you this? And he would listen sometimes, and I'd send him reports. Then they got really upset about it, was in the news. But he got to this point where, you know, he told someone that's close to him a couple of years ago, he says, I don't want to effing hear from him again, because he keeps bringing up, you know, the COVID shots. And it was with everybody else. He would just scream at people if they brought up the COVID shot to him. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and they end up, because it's only people that are using him are going to flatter him. And that's why every relationship is not as toxic, because they'll say they want to be in Mar-a-Lago. They want to be close to power. They want something from him. And that's why the people like in King Lear, the daughter that just loved her father and didn't want anything from him, wouldn't do that. And so the king that has this disease, this illness at this point, gets very uncomfortable around people that aren't using them. And that's when it gets so odd, and that's when people starve to death.
Exactly, and Shakespeare couldn't write this stuff legally, or you'd get hung, but he was compositing real stuff going on. I mean, take the Sun King's court in France or whatever. It was just total courtiers groveling, backstabbing, and once this develops, this megalomania, if it's not transactional, and if you're not doing this, and if you're not getting something back, then he thinks there's something wrong with you.
Oh, totally. And then you're not allowed in the court. And that's when you have a sick king. Louis XVI, 15% of Paris and France had their heads chopped off. You know, it's like it ends really bad, you know, and that's why the truth will set you free. And it's like, even if it hurts, you know, and that's why I say I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, because I might be wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I think is true at that moment, or else I'm poisoning you. And so,
and that's the essence of a vibrant, healthy society.
Exactly. And it's just, and that's when you get high trust. That's when you get a high yield. That's when you get.
I always tell my crew, the one thing you'll get fired for, the best crew ever, super hard worker, put up with me, is don't keep bad news from me. Don't glaze me. Like, I want to be told when I say something wrong. I want to be told when I'm out of control. I want them to give me their opinion. And they might be totally right. They usually are. But I want that. I don't want a bunch of yes men. You know, Julius Caesar, when he became the emperor and everything, this is in their books, it happened. He had his aide walk around behind him every hour or two saying, you're not a god, you're just a man. Remember, don't let the power go to your head. When he would ride in for the big triumphant deals after a military victory, everybody's worshiping him, he had a person right behind him saying, you're not a god, you're not a god. Remember, this is bad. You're in grave danger. The more power you get, the more danger you're in. Because he told him what to say, but he literally needed to be constantly reminded of it. Because he said he didn't want that sickness.
Yeah, and one thing that happens to these guys is they're so used to the court. They're so used to the wizard court where everyone's like praising and slathering and they want power that they forget about other social structures. So like Caligula was killed by one of his Praetorian guards because like Caligula would just be mocking everyone and lying and doing all his things and banging
marrying his
twice.
Horse and making it out of the Senate and.
Yeah, anything you want, just humiliation rituals, wizardry, all that stuff. And one of his guards was like, stop making fun of me. Like, he was just like, his culture is honor culture. And honor culture, that's why the stand-up comedian is a very interesting position right now, because we were the daywalkers. It's like, yeah, I've been in movies and TV shows, but my bread and butter is on a stage with like a crowd, and I can't lose the honor, you know, or else I get eaten alive. It's more gladiatorial than court. And so someone like me doesn't, like, if I'm getting slathered or if I'm, like, trying to kiss someone's ass, I feel, like, awkward and like, uncomfortable.
And plus, the crowd wouldn't want to hear you for an hour say, you're beautiful, you're amazing.
No,
they want the gladiator
God, no.
event. They want to praise you when it's funny and say you suck when it's not. And it's that.
Exactly.
That's street smarts. That's on the ground. Rubber meets the road. That's why, listen,
I never
wanted to go to prom.
Cleveland.
I never wanted to be the, you know, king of the prom. I never, because it was just stupid. It seemed just instinctive. I didn't like it. I was out with college girls when they were going to the high school prom. I mean, I was already gone out of it by junior high. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was arrested. And, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to Mar-a-Lago and stand around in tuxedos and act like we've arrived. And they've had me so many times to Mar-a-Lago, White House, you name it, and they stopped doing it. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Well, it's because I know what happens. Well, what's going to happen? He's going to say thank you at dinner with 100 people, and I'm going to bathe in it, and then some chick will try to have sex with me. Whoop-de-frickin-do. Now, I said, you want to have a meeting about policy or something? Give me 30 minutes. I'm coming. And, well, they'll be, you know. Again, I don't want to play games, okay? You know, it's real simple, and it's not like I'm super cool. I just can't even connect to it.
Well, it's also just how long is your timeline? It's so short-lived. I mean, You brought up the Sun King. It's like his grandson had his head chopped off with his wife. Head chopped off. It's like it doesn't last because the flatterer doesn't. There's actually a hatred of it. Where that's why I started making fun of veterans because they seem to be. Because I got racial because of Cleveland. I mean, all black audiences will look at you like if you don't say it, we're gonna turn on you. Like you come at us, you know. And so in America, people will glaze
go back
all
and,
veterans.
But go back and say what black audiences want to hear. Flesh that out.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't go racial, if I hesitated with a pejorative or any of that, I was dead. And so, you know, a lot of inner city black culture is honor culture. So
well,
it's like
black people love Nick Fuentes openly talking crap to him.
Well, I think a lot of them think he's a homo, but they do like that. Cause they're also very homophobic blacks. They'll be like, man, what's up with this kid?
No, I know you don't like Nick, but just whatever.
It's not that I don't like Nick. It's just like, he, like on your show, he called me a gay Jewish man. And then I responded. And then he was like, I'm like, dude, I'm responding to.
Well, I don't remember that, but okay, yeah. But going back to the black audiences, flesh that out.
Yeah, yeah. So if you show hesitation, like if you show that you're afraid or you're not in the flow state, they'll eat you alive. And it's like that with honor culture. And so that's like the military. The military, that's why a lot of times these tyrannical kings that get sick in the head, usually a coup is what takes them out, because the military isn't like the military's bread and butter is battlefield honor, physical strength. And so they don't care if like Benny Johnson follows you on Twitter. Like they think that's all ridiculous. Like same with stand-up comedians. Like I think like a lot of these actor types are absurd buffoons, you know, because they're like, you know, like obsessing about their skin tone and their abs and their tight jeans and stuff. And I'm like, you haven't even thought about entertaining anybody. Like you're not a god. And that's why.
Plus, they don't even know that women just don't want abs. They want a funny, smart, powerful, independent guy.
Yeah, but most of them are homos. I mean, that's why there's so many homos now. It's like, because narcissism leads to being a homo, because you're like, okay, if I'm my own god, I'm a dude. So that is like an inverse loop where you start like being attracted to yourself, and before you know it, you're just driving around in a Miata, and that's the end of the story. You know, then you got Magical Johnson and Greg Louganis.
Well, when I was a pretty boy, and I certainly wasn't effeminate, and I had no problem with women, but now that I look like a, you know, cross between a Mr. Clean and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I literally, plus you're like 8 feet tall. I know you probably don't have the problem either, but I have to like beat the women away with a stick. So I don't think women are looking for pretty boys.
No, you kind of touched on it with Mar-a-Lago. They kind of like when you've been allowed behind the curtain, where it's like you've been anointed. And that's why people slather up to these stars, these like moguls, you know. That's because I see it over and over again, especially when I was getting quote unquote canceled, where I was making fun of I said the Caitlyn Jenner woman of the year hasn't been a woman for a full year joke 6 years before Chappelle, and people pretended it wasn't funny because Netflix and all this money was getting pumped in from, you know, the Edward Bernays family. And I just remember being like, why are you guys all lying? And then so what happens is people get anointed, where you're one of the in crowd, you get to go to the, you know, you get the money from the APAC, you get, you're repped at CAA. And then, you know, women look at you like, oh, you've been approved by Mount Olympus. And I never wanted that. I'm like, I can.
But what I'm saying is I'm finding more and more women are rejecting that.
Rejecting what, Mount Olympus? Oh, yeah. I mean,
like you know, like, well, it's like cockatoos. Woman. It's whoever sits highest in the tree is the boss. Real women are getting, they're really tired of it. Like, I think everybody used to be into, everybody used to be more into Hollywood. I mean, I was never worshipped it, but I thought it was kind of cool 30 years ago and then didn't like it 20. Now I hate it. But I think the general public is kind of more and more sick of it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sacred cows are just getting slaughtered and slaughtered because women deep down want stability. And these things don't appear stable anymore. Like being anointed by the king doesn't mean anything like it once did. So it's not that women aren't.
Well, that's the last straw of why I don't go to Mar-a-Lago or the White House, is I'm not afraid to be attacked by the establishment. But I go around Trump, and they come after whatever. They don't want me to be anointed, which I don't want to be either. But that somehow with the people that are anointed, they don't want that. They still think that's the, like, I see CNN. I saw all these clips something. On CNN going, Tucker Carlson's not very big. Alex Jones isn't very big. And I can go look at the numbers. We're way bigger than them. I don't even care about that. But they're literally on all these TV shows with Democrat and Republican strategists. I saw like five clips this morning without even looking, saying, oh, they're not important. You know, the fact that they went after Trump, and this is CNN defending him, and the fact that Trump, you know, is backing off, he shouldn't listen to them because they have no power. And then CNN has like 70,000 viewers on average. It's a joke. So they're talking about how big they are.
That's wizardry. It's gaslight. It's gaslight, diagnose, ignore. I talk about this in the book. It's like, so they just lie And then when you respond like you just did, where you're like, look at the numbers. And I like Tucker Carlson now, too. I think he's crushing. I mean, he brought up Spellcraft recently. And so
he's definitely listening to you. That's what I'm saying. Tucker, because I watch his numbers and I know what I talk to his people, what they are about other crushing. Stuff. He's crushing subscriptions, crushing on every platform. He's at least 10 times bigger than he was on Fox.
I mean, yeah, so they're just trying to get you to believe them. That it's perception management. They, this is wizardry.
They have all these articles that I don't have an audience and I'm off the air. When InfoWars shuts down, we're going to be gone. We're going to be bigger. They want me to believe their spell.
That's it, man. They need you to believe the spell. Because in the past, I've believed the spells before where I'm like, am I full of hate? Like, I can be so open-minded sometimes that a wizard will say something to me and I'll think about it. Like, and then if I start changing that way, or if I'm like, cause for me, my issue was like, I would feel threatened when I wasn't really threatened. And then I could almost come across as more antagonistic, more volatile.
Yeah. Because you used to be more reactive in explaining yourself. Yeah. I think your shows are better when I've seen them now. Cause you don't do that. Me too. I almost told Harrison this today, but I was busy and didn't do it. I saw them post on my ex account, him explaining that I'm not an Israeli operative to people. If people want to believe that, believe it. I don't have to justify myself to people that just know how to call me a Jewish agent. That's ridiculous. But they're another form of idiocy and wizardry. You see that, I'm sure, with the Jew stuff now, where if you slip on a banana peel, it's the Jews. It's its own form of idiocy, its own cult.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you like defending it actually puts it in people's heads. And I used to do that all the time. I'd be like, I haven't lost my mind. My wife still loves me. She hasn't kicked me out of the house. Like, I'm still funny. Dude, the thing.
Yeah, no, I remember back, that they so say funny. His wife has left him because I don't really stalk you, but I remember that. And you come and explain, here she is, we in the kitchen. We're fine. I try to tell my crew that. Just do not respond or it makes it worse.
Yeah, and so they want you to believe the spell is the whole thing. And that shows the whole nature of the wizard is like, they don't have the power of the free man. They need you to do it all the time with fear, with all that. And so when I started feeling less threatened, I got more chill and I could be more myself. Cause I was always like a pretty laid back dude. There was about a few years where I didn't even know the world this happened. Like, I didn't know that you could be targeted by the global media or anything. And so, yeah, that's where I learned a lot of this stuff from mistakes. It's not just I'm just some all-knowing guy. It's like these things would happen to me. I would then go, oh, that's how that works. Look at how they got me. And I just kept falling for traps. And now once I know how it works, the traps don't work like they used to.
Me too. I've been on air 32 years on the 15th. And people ask how I know what I know. It's trial and error. It's research. It's interviewing everybody. It's just my head's in the game. And now I know nothing. As Socrates said, you know, the teacher knows they're really a student. I look at these newbies that have woken up, and that's what I worry about them, because they have such limited knowledge. So they know the system's lying, but then they'll just spin off into all these other little
You
know, and you're like, you really feel sorry. I don't know, but it's a process.
Dude, I'm like the anti-Semitism version of a hipster, where I now think it's like kind of gay to hate the Jews. They're like a newbie will be like, oh, it's the Jews. I'm like, nah, not really. It's a behavior, and you have to take the loan, and you have to agree. Like, I'm trying to explain it, and they're like, oh, so you're an Israeli shill now? I'm like, bro, do you even know who you're talking to? And then I just realized that I'm almost like that dude who's still like listening to records or something. You know, I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about, because they're still externalizing authority. They're still saying it's the doing this to me. And I'm like, well, you want something from them. Like, Trump wants flattery right now, or else he wouldn't be listening to it. You know,
well, it's a computer program you've decided to stick in you. And what I don't understand is when you make it all about the Jews, the ones on top have set it up where they get persecuted and then they get more power because the low-level Jews don't know it. And it's the same in every group. It's like the black leaders literally trying to get blacks persecuted or hyping it up so they can play victim, so they can feed off them. They're farming your victimhood, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's all identity games. Like, evil isn't an identity. It switches constantly. That's why as soon as you think it's this
remember
one
Agent
group.
Remember Smith,
like,
that's a great analogy, jumps into whoever he wants in the Matrix?
Exactly. And that's how a wizard works. He's supercharged like science, what we just talked about. So science starts getting credibility, and then the science becomes like the COVID rollout. And the same thing is with the Jews. I bet they jumped into the Jews because they were known for being like really literate, or they were like pretty stable for like holding on to someone's gold 1,000 years ago. You know, there was something where they jumped into that group to then pace it, mimic it, and run it off a cliff. And that's how evil actually works. And as soon as you think it's the Quakers or the Portuguese or whatever, it's always that's
why
notice
in the
these Bible,
empires all come and go. Then they get
they come and go. It's like the, you know, before the Rothschilds, it was the Habsburgs, and they were so incested that their jaws got insane. And this idea, that's why the Bible talks about you know them by their fruit, and also the love of money is the root of all evil. Like,
well,
you
the Rothschilds, they didn't even want to be Jewish anymore. When they crashed the British economy at the Battle of Waterloo, saying that the British had lost the war, people looked that up, it's incredible history, they got breeding rights to breed into the British family. And they wanted to breed in to the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, a Transylvanian German inbred line of lunatics, the madness of King George III, literally. They wanted, that was the ultimate goal, was to be British lords and breed into inbreds when they're already inbred themselves.
Yeah. And they're never happy. As soon as they get to do that, they just want the next thing, and that emptiness does end up consuming them.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. You're going to take over 30 minutes. You got NASA stuff to cover. They got the clips for you. Owen Benjamin, thank you so much for going to break. We'll talk to you soon. You got to come back soon.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You bet. Stay there. You're hosting when we come up. Want you to be able to run on yourself without me interrupting every 5 seconds. Just briefly, I'm not funded by Israel, Qatar, or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you selling T-shirts, books, knives, really good supplements. I mean, if you don't get our Methylene Blue, you are insane. And they've got a deal, because I don't own the Alex Jones store. I push a lot of the stuff. It's not what they sell. But I haven't called them yet, but I'm like, what is this? They're selling Methylene Blue, the very best out there, for $16.79. I happen to know what it costs. See, this medical grade. They can buy the non-medical grade for like $5 a bottle. They buy medical grade out of Florida. It costs $16 and change. It's $16.79, folks. I mean, I'm going to call them up and say, we got to make some money. You can have this big number, but we don't get any money. The lights go out. But their argument, they got great marketers, is they're going to love it so much, they're going to buy everything else. Now, you got to be a subscriber, but that's no commitment because you can cancel any time. So you subscribe. Each month you get it at cost in perpetuity until you cancel. One click on your profile. That is cuckoo town good. And there's a bunch of other really great products on the site. Huge sale right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That funds our operation. I need your support with InfoWars about to shut down. I haven't announced what's going to happen or what's going on. We know now. We know the shutdown date. We've survived so much, but this is it. And it's such a big deal. I just look at the edge of a cliff, not in a bad way. I'm going to try to announce it tomorrow.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.